Well, praise God.
I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into this word. I don't think this word's going to be very long, so it'll probably work out just about right. Lord knows what he's doing. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. I thank you for the testimony, because, Father, you know exactly what you're doing. And a lot of times we think we know what we're doing, and we find out we don't know what we're doing, that you're in control of it all. And thank you that you're gentle with us and that you're patient and kind and even slow with us at times, Father, because so many times we would want to do something a certain way and it isn't the right way all the time. It's not your way. So I just thank you in Jesus' name, and I ask you to bless this word, and I just give you all praise and glory for it. Amen. The title to my sermon today is Pressing On. And my first scripture is Philippians 3:13-16. And it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect," there's that word perfect, remember we mentioned that back there a little bit, "be thus minded, and if in anything else you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you." And you know, a lot of times when we talk about pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, that's really, God has a different call. And just like Sister was saying, he has a different call on everybody's life, and it's not the same. And he can use you wherever you are and whatever situation that you're in. And you can be a priest, a king, priest, wherever you go. Because I got news for you. The high calling in Christ Jesus is that you come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what God's original purpose was in Genesis. And that's exactly what he said when he said, "Let us make man in our own image and our own likeness and let him have dominion." And he had to come in the form of a man to show us what that image was like. We would have never believed that a man could be in that image or in that likeness until we seen Jesus. But thank God that he did come. And you know, my thing is with the Lord is that a lot of times people will be traveling along with the Lord, and sometimes it'll get a little uncomfortable. You know, I've heard preachers say, we had a brother that came through here years ago, and he talked. We were listening to him preach, and me and Jim got to talking, and I said to Jim, I said, "You know," I said, "I think that brother, he was hitting all around the sonship message, you know, that we're sons of God." I said, "But he never did really come right out and say it." And I was talking to Jim, and I said, "You know, I think, you know, that brother might see it." He said, "Oh," I talked to him, and he said God showed him that message, but it was too uncomfortable to preach it. You know, he got a lot of flack from people when he preached that message. And, you know, I was thinking about Uncle Wiley today, and I told you he's in the hospital. And, you know, years and years ago, I can remember Uncle Wiley from the first times you might think that I was around Wiley a lot, but I really wasn't. Mother and him used to go to church together a lot, and they'd go out and hear all of they'd travel around to a lot of these revivals and things, you know, and after he got saved, and they'd talk on the phone a lot, and I really didn't get a chance to talk to Wiley that much as I was growing up. I'd see him here and there, you know, and, you know, after I got saved was when I really had a couple times to sit down and talk with him, and what I began to realize is that the God had shown me the same things he had showed him, you know, but he had been preaching those things for years, and Wiley would go in churches sometimes, and he would preach total reconciliation, and boy, that people just did not want to hear that. That was just contrary to their religious beliefs, because they wanted to burn you in hell and send you off into torment and everything else. And, you know, so he bore a lot of heat of the day back years ago. And, I mean, he used to preach on the radio once in a while and stuff, because he had some churches that he went to that were on radio. And a lot of times some of those ministers, if they were didn't have a word that night, they'd invite him to come up and speak. But, You know, I know he probably went through a lot of persecution, and that's like Brother Eddie. You know, Brother Eddie, you know, taught total reconciliation too, and he believed that everyone would be saved eventually, you know, and he taught that. And, you know, people called Brother Eddie a heretic, and they called him all kind of things, you know. And, you know, what people don't realize is that when God shows you something, you can't back off from that. You know, I'm going to read you another scripture here, and this is in Ezekiel 46, and this is verse 9. And in Ezekiel, this is when Ezekiel was the Lord was dealing with him about the temple. And, you know, he was telling him all the dimensions of the temple and all this different stuff. And here's what he says. And he says, "But when the people of the land come before the Lord in solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. And he that entereth by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but he shall go forth over against it." And basically what he's saying is if you come in one way, he wants you to go out another way. And what he's really saying is he wants you to keep moving forward. He doesn't want you to go back and languish in that gate where you came in. And a lot of Christians are hanging in the gate of basic salvation. They're hanging in the gate of grandma's religion and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's time for them to begin to move on through the gates. And until you move on through the gates, you're never going to come to that place of the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, because you're hanging back and you're hanging in religious traditions. And I want you to know that God wants us to move on and keep moving forward and not go out the same gate we came in. And there's a lot of Christians that do that. I mean, there's some Christians that's even been in this assembly who have turned around and went back into what they were in years and years ago. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't believe God's pleased with that. I really don't. Because he wants you to keep moving forward. You know, there's this little story, and I'm going to read it to you. And, you know, this particular man said, "I was privileged to visit a popular violinist. His name was Bernardo Rudinoff. During the conversation, he said that when he was not on tour, he practiced some 8 hours a day. And when on the road, he often rehearsed between concerts. And I asked him why. He patiently replied, "Well, I strive for perfection. I doubt if my audience would know the difference if I lightened up on the rehearsals. But I would. Music is my life, is in my heart, and I must always give my best." And I'm going to tell you, God wants your best. He wants my best. And he wants us to strive. And when I say strive, that's seeking after him. That's following on to know him. That's moving and flowing with him in his spirit, whatever he bids you to do. And if you do that, you're going to be your very best. And even like your daughter, if that's what God is calling her to do, to be an entertainer, if she still keeps God first in her life and does her very best, then she'll minister exactly on the level, exactly where God wants her, and she'll touch many lives. You know, I got another little story here, and this one was when Mexico was conquered by the Spaniards. Cortez disembarked with his 500 men upon the eastern coast of Mexico. And after he did, he set fire to his ships. Think about that. As his warriors watched, their means of retreat burned. They knew that they were committing their lives to conquer a new world for Spain. Boy, that's a story. They couldn't return by the way they came. They were committed, whether they wanted to be or not, because Cortez committed them. He burnt them ships. And I got news for you. We need to burn some of the ships in our lives and quit looking for a way to go back. You can't go back. You know, a lot of times we say, oh, but man, you know, if I could just go back to the moves of God in the past, and if I could just go back to what happened in Azusa Street, if I could just go back to this or back to that, or back when the big revivals were going. God don't want you to go back. He wants you to keep moving forward. He wants you to keep moving in Him. You know. Similarly, everyone who sets foot on the shore of discipleship is called upon to burn his own ship in the harbor. We Christians cannot spend our days looking back. We must move forward. Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. And you know, if you ever watched anybody plow with a plow with a mule pulling it, I happened to see that when I was a kid because my grandpa had a farm. And that was back in the 40, early 50s and 40s. And he had this big old mule, and they had that kind of a plow. And the mule did the plowing. They didn't have a tractor. And you know, if you look back, guess what? That thing goes all over the place. You don't have straight furrowed rows. You can't look back if you're plowing. And if you put your hand to the plow of what God's doing in your life, you can't constantly keep looking back and constantly keep thinking, well, bless God, it was better 10 years ago than it is now. No, it's you're exactly right where you're supposed to be right now. God's got you where He wants you. He's teaching you exactly what you need to learn right now. And you need to keep moving forward, and you need to keep your eyes planted upon Jesus, just like Peter when he was in the boat. You know, there was a bunch of disciples in the boat, and they were scared, and I'm sure Peter was scared too. And he said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. And guess what? Jesus said, come, Peter. And you know what? We hear the story of how Peter got out, and he walked on the water for a minute because Jesus had walked on the water to get out there to him. And they said, and then all of a sudden, he began to observe the wind and the waves. He got his eyes off of, straightforward, off of Jesus. And he began to sink. And he began to cry out, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Well, I got news for you. Jesus reached out. And he did kind of rebuke him about being of little faith. But, you know, at least Peter got out of the boat. None of the rest of them got out of the boat. They were scouring and hiding underneath the edge and everything else. But I got news for you, folks. Whatever God calls you to do, move forward. Keep moving with Him. Move and flow with Him. And with your daughter, if He's calling her to be an entertainer, she can be a godly entertainer. She can be an influence on people by singing the right kind of songs. I got news for you. Some of these supposedly pop rock songs or whatever they are, I don't say rock because rock ain't what it used to be. Rock that I knew was not what I hear today. But if you listen to some of the words of some of these songs, they're more spiritual than some of the songs we sing. I'm telling you, they are. I've sat and I've had felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit sometimes when I listen to some of these guys out in the world singing these songs, because whether they know it or not, that talent they have was given to them by God. And they've written some songs, that if you listen to the words, it could very easily be a Christian song. Very easily. Praise the Lord. Anyway, no one who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And that's Luke 9:62. There's no compromising the Christian life. One is one of tension and triumphs. And you ever get in tense? You ever get tense once in a while? I do. But I also have triumphs. I have times when, man, God just meets me in such a wonderful way. You know, but we must learn to rest even in the midst of all of this, all of it, the tension and the triumphs. We got to learn to rest in Him and know that He's in control. I got one more little story for you, and it says, when the great Quaker George Fox was put in prison because of his activity against war and slavery, he immediately launched a crusade for prison reform. Christian discipline resulted in a dedicated, determined life. When one door closes, God causes another to open. And I'm going to tell you what. When God opens a door, no man can close it. When God closes a door, no man can open it. And if you're smart, if God's closing a door for you, you won't beat your head up against a wall trying to get it open, because it's not going to work, and it will not be keep you in the center of God's will. And my next scripture here is Ephesians 3:16-21. And this says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's Him working in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power of power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. And I got news for you. We need to quit trying to put people in boxes. We need to quit trying to tell them what they should and shouldn't do in situations. And we need to start putting them in the hands of God. And since that's exactly what He was doing with you. He's teaching you, she's mine. He told you that when she was just a little girl. She's mine. And you know, so many times we have a situation and we want to put our hands on it. Yeah, but I want it to go this way. I want it to go that way. Oh, my goodness. And a lot of times if we sent it in the direction we wanted it to go, it would end up being a fiasco. And the last thing I want to share with you, and I'm not going to talk to you very long today. And this is a poem that the Lord gave me a while back, and it's called Intimacy with God. And it goes like this. Come away, my love, into an intimate place where I will show you the depths of my amazing grace. As you are wrapped in the warmth of my enfolding love, in the quietness and stillness you will rise above. And sit with me in that heavenly place where you will begin to see me face to face. And a change will happen as I give you my life, a change of names as you become my wife. And my glory and love will break forth from your heart, bringing all to repentance and even a new start. For surely as you spend precious time with me, I will show you my plans for eternity. For the Father expressed His wondrous love when He sent me His Son from above. For I have redeemed mankind from the wages of sin, that He might come into being instead of to an end. And you know, people think that He's trying to bring mankind to an end. He's not. He wants them to come into being the fullness of what He said in Genesis of let us make man in our own image and our own likeness and let him have dominion. And we were talking about the inheritance that He's given us back there. And you know, it says that we're co-inheritors with Christ. And everything that is His belongs to us also. And I tell you, if that don't rock your world a little bit, I don't know what will. But I tell you what, He said, Father, when he prayed his high priestly prayer in John, he said, Father, the glory that you've given to me, I've given it to them. Hello, them. Hello, them. The glory of Christ in you. Creation is standing on tiptoe, like it says in the Phillips Bible. Standing on tiptoe, waiting to see the wonderful sight of the sons of God coming into their own. And you know why they're doing that? Because they're going to be set free from bondage and corruption and decay into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. And they're only going to do that as we keep pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And we don't try to go back through the door from which we came. And I tell you, sometimes, I mean, let's face it, if I came in here every Sunday and talked to you about all the blessings and the Cadillacs you could have and the cars and the houses and all the stuff that they're telling you out there in the regular church, we'd probably have this building full. I mean, you know, if you tell them all the goody stuff, you can get them in. If you have enough entertainment, you can get them in. If you go by the way of the world, you can get them in. But I tell you what, there's going to have to be a people who are going to forerun in this thing. All creation groans and travails, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They're waiting for God's children to grow up, for the cover to be taken off of them, that they can see the glory of God as man stands up as one. You know, you can send all the evangelists out in the world you want to. You can send missionaries out in the world, all of them that you want to. That's not going to change the world. It'll change it some. But what's really going to change the world is what Jesus prayed. He said, Father, I pray that they might be one as you and I are one. You and me and me and them. And he said, and then, and I will emphasize, and then the world will believe. They will not believe until some of us grow up into that image and likeness of his son. And I'll tell you what, we'll only do that as we keep pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's all I had to share with you today. And if you all stand up, we'll close in a word of prayer. If anybody'd like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, that name above all names, I thank you, Lord, that you not only are our Father, but you're also our brother. You're our friend. You said the servant doesn't know what the master does, but he said, I'll henceforth not call you servants, but I'll call you friends. And you're that friend that sticks closer than a brother. And Father, I ask you, as we press towards that mark, begin to show us what you're going to do and what you want us to do and what part we're to play, each one of us, that we can fulfill your will in this earth, that creation can begin to see the glory of God in your people, in your sons. You know, we used to sing that song, I see your sons, Lord, marching, glorifying Jesus, overcoming all that they might reign. Sure, you know that song. Come up here and sing that song for us, Sherry. I'm going to get you singing more. You got to start singing more, Sherry. Come up and lead us in that song.
Well, I'll lead in that one, but I was thinking of the song, Don't Turn Back, Children of Israel, Don't Turn Back. Don't turn back, children of Israel, don't turn back. Don't turn back, children of Israel, don't turn back. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Don't turn back, children of Israel, don't turn back. What was the one you wanted? Pressing toward the mark, children of Israel, pressing toward the mark. Pressing toward the mark, children of Israel, pressing toward the mark. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Don't turn back, children of Israel, don't turn back. What was the one you want?
I see your son.
what you talk. Walk what you talk, children of Israel, walk what you talk. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Don't what you talk, children of Israel, walk what you talk. I can't even think of what you told me.
When I see your sons, Lord, marching.
I see your sons, Lord, marching, glorifying Jesus, overcoming all that they might reign. I see your sons, Lord, marching, glorifying Jesus, overcoming all that they might reign.
I see your glory
shining deep within your temple, breaking forth to shine from that holiest place of all. I see your sons, Lord, marching, glorifying Jesus, overcoming all that they might reign. This morning when I was driving to church, the Lord speaks to me in this. Sometimes I think it's silly, but I'm driving down the expressway and it's raining. And straight ahead, my windshield, I couldn't hardly see. But if I looked to the right or the left, where that glass wasn't separating me from the onslaught of the rain, it was clear to the right and to the left. And then I thought, well, Lord, that's not right, because we're supposed to look forward. We're not supposed to look to the left or the right. But I don't know. It just spoke to me that sometimes we get so narrow-minded that we don't look to the left or the right, and the Lord may have something there for us.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. God bless you all. Have a great day.